We could be anywhere in the city at this point, but anyway, if you're coming down to Maple Leaf Square for the game tonight and you're going to be outside or you're going in, the square opens at 5 p.m. tonight. They're expecting a pretty decent crowd. The weather's still pretty garbage here, but it's game four. It's a big game. Leafs Bruins, you can hear right here on TSN 1050, and we're joined now around the truck by Bruins insider Joe Haggerty. What's happening, Joe?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man? Let's get that mic on. There we go. We got you.
It's good to see you guys are well secured here. Lots of fencing outside, lots of security.
Yeah, there's boulders, there's everything. They're not getting at us.
In case the teaming fans come and want to like rock the trailer or something like that. You know?
You're not aware of this. We're kidnapping you, actually. You're not going to make it to the game tonight.
The blinds go down. Joe was never heard from again.
We'll never see you again.
We're going to be like that. Vancouver. How did this happen?
We're going to be like that CNN storm truck where it just drives around. We're going to drive around and watch the game and do hits for all our respective networks.
That's right, man. That's the plan for tonight. Do you have a bit of a conspiracy theory on who's reffing the game tonight? Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, as soon as I saw it was Chris Rooney from a Boston perspective. He's a South Boston guy, very well known to Bruins fans. He kind of has this tendency to either call penalties against the Bruins or not call penalties, you know, power plays in favor of the Bruins to kind of show that he doesn't have favoritism or he's not a South Boston homer for the hometown team. There's a long-going history of this, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out tonight. And just the fact that he's reffing a very pivotal game for the Bruins that they want to try and win is interesting.
Do you get the sense there's some urgency from Boston? They want to get back on their game and get back to Boston, maybe wrap this up, get their older guys some rest and kind of don't deal with this any longer. There must be some urgency there.
Yeah, I don't think they want to see the momentum swing away from them, which would definitely happen if it's 2-2 going back to Boston. They've lost a couple games in a row. Kadri comes back into the equation, and he's a big difference maker with the way that he plays. You really start to, I think, control starts to slip out of your hands a little bit if you do lose this one and all that stuff starts to happen. And, you know, they obviously have some good feelings, I think, going into this one based on what happened in the last game. Certainly, the Bergeron line got kept off the score sheet, you know, and there were some defensive mistakes made. They allowed the floodgates to open with the transition and the stretch passing for the Leafs. But still, the Bergeron line had 22 shots on net. They had a lot of scoring chances, hit a bunch of posts. I feel like they were, you know, held off the score sheet but not neutralized.
It's also got to be a situation where the team and in the locker room have got to be thinking, how about another line step up?
Yes.
Like, how about another line? We talked about our depth all year. We got Nash in a big trade. Riley Nash is back. It's like somebody else do something.
Yeah, they gave up a boatload to get Rick Nash. He was supposed to be a guy that was going to step up behind the 330 goal scorers and provide some of that scoring punch. Obviously, David Krejci has had some great postseasons for the Bruins. He gets set up by Jake DeBrusk on that one play, and he kind of heals the puck and can't even get it.
Man, Don Sweeney was sitting behind me the other night, and Krejci turned that puck over. He was.
They caught that on TV.
I know. Yeah, and the language, they got it.
Seabass gets a little worked up.
They were not happy.
Oh, there's a lot of broken furniture in the garden in the owner's box.
Have you ever, like, I think the director in the truck, the minute something bad happens to the Bruins, is like, pan to Cam Neely.
Right.
Because he's just ready to climb
someone,
out.
Someone just threw a salt shaker at him.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. But to your point, yeah, the Krejci line needs to step up and provide some more offense. There's no question about it. But I do watch all these games, and I say the Toronto defense still really hasn't found a way to neutralize that Bergeron line. Until some players can step up and really hold them into check to the point where they can't even get scoring chances and really hold them down, I don't think you're going to have sustained success here. The only way I think the Leafs can win this series is if Frederik Andersen plays the way that he did in Game 3, especially the third period.
Right, he was unbelievable in the
brilliant.
Third.
Brilliant, yeah.
They're going to need that out of him.
Joe Haggerty, Bruins insider, joining us around the truck. We're live at the Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 4 tonight. Puck drop at 7. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. I was a little bit caught off guard by how candid Bruce Cassidy was in terms of he was glorifying Mitch Marner yesterday. Like, he was pumping his tires as if he's related to him. And you don't hear that a lot from coaches at any point, let alone in between Game 3 and Game 4. Do you get the impression like Marner really does scare them more than Matthews, or is it still Matthews is the guy that they're most worried about?
Yeah, he's had 13 points in 8 games during the regular season over the last 2 years. Really, Auston Matthews is not the guy that's dinged them offensively and has really hurt them. Mitch Marner's the one that has given them a lot of problems, the speed, the shiftiness, the creativity. I think those kind of players give Zdeno Chara more trouble typically than a guy like Auston Matthews, who has speed, has a lot of things, but he's a bigger body, and I think Chara tends to match up better against those players. So yeah, I think it's deserved. I think it was genuine. And Bruce Cassidy's a guy that loves offensive hockey, loves creative hockey. That's his kind of player, a guy that plays up-tempo, a guy that makes things happen, a guy that can score and is very creative. He loves those kind of guys. I thought it was also interesting, Morgan Riley, I guess, was talking about how skilled and fast that Brad Marchand was, and you know, trying to butter up Marchand a little bit, and not right. saying, I don't think he's a rat. I think he's a great player. There's a lot of compliments being thrown back and forth right here in this series between the two teams.
And that's the thing. In your experience with Cassidy, how is his bench demeanor? How is his demeanor not only with the media but with the guys? He seems like a player's coach and a guy that the players want to play for. And I don't know if he's a guy who comes in and kicks garbage cans or anything, but he seems reasonable. Intense, but reasonable.
I think there are times, obviously, where he'll pale paint in the locker room between periods
right.
from time to time, but that's not the usual mode that he's in.
Right.
I think he definitely is more of a put players in the positions they want to be in to succeed, allow them to do their thing offensively without really stepping in their way, make sure they're held accountable defensively, but kind of let them do their own thing. And for a team that had Claude Julien for 8-9 years, that was a very different coach, put the leash on a lot of players, would not let players do things they wanted to do, and would kind of hold the controls down defensively and not like let the dogs out offensively, to go from that to a guy like Bruce Cassidy, I think has brought out the best in a lot of these players and has made them feel some freedom they did not feel under Claude Julien.
With Joe Haggerty, Bruins Insider, Game 4 tonight, puck drop at 7 right here on TSN Radio. You mentioned Freddie Anderson and how he's got to be an X factor for the Maple Leafs, and that goes without saying, but I would suggest the same has to apply to Tuukka Rask. And Noodles, you broke down the 4 goals he gave up a couple of nights ago, and they weren't great. I mean, the last one
especially was
hit the middle
of the
net.
Awful.
But if you look at it, just based on what teams expect, for example, the power play goal goes short side through the body, through the arm. It's a leaky goal. Second goal, he gets across, but it goes underneath the right pad. So it's a play that he's there. He just doesn't seal. The third goal.
That was Matthews' top shelf.
Matthews, great shot, but still short side shelf. That's
right,
one
that never
from outside the dot. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth goal, he overplays it. And to me, it looked like Marlowe hit the middle of the net almost. Like there was, it was a, so I didn't love his game. I thought his save on Janssen was brilliant.
That was brilliant in the first period.
The first period, but other than that, he's been really good and tight for me in the first couple games in the series. Good fighting through traffic. Good at sealing some rebounds, but I didn't love his game last game, and I would expect a bounce back from him tonight.
That Marlowe goal looked like, as the shooter, it's sometimes when you run out of options, you're just like, I'm going to shoot this.
Yeah.
It went in the middle of the net.
Right in the middle of the net. I mean, is he the kind of guy, based on your understanding, where you can bank on a bounce back? Or if you know, mentally he's kind of feeling it or not feeling it, is that something the Maple Leafs can hope to expose tonight?
I think there is definitely a jury is still out thing with Tuukka Rask as far as big games go. And, I think this is the kind of area where he needs to respond, and they need him to come up big in this kind of a game and not let in any leaky goals. But there's been a track record of him where he's been shaky in these kind of games. And until he proves otherwise, it's going to be there. And look, I've said for a while down the stretch, this is the no-excuses tour for Tuukka Rask in this postseason. He was well-rested. They wanted him to play 55 to 60 games. He got right in there.
Yeah.
Plenty of rest. No injuries during the season towards the end. So he's rested. He's healthy.
Yeah, it's put up or shut up time.
Exactly. He should be able to be the guy that's going to earn the $7 million contract and be the franchise goalie for them. They've put all the high-maintenance guards in for him, and he has to do it. And there are definitely questions in big games whether mentally and physically he's got what it takes to carry through. So that is something the Leafs might be able to exploit, especially if it's a tight one-goal game where they can get to him in the third period, no question.
We've talked a lot about the Bruins and their resurgence over the past couple of years where, you know, a lot of the vets are still here. It's still Chara's team, quote-unquote, just based on him being there as long as he has been. He's the captain. He still logs a lot of minutes. Marchand and Bergeron, they were there for the cup run, and they've been great players for quite some time. But they've kind of rebuilt or retooled on the fly here. Like, Pasternak's only 21. Jake DeBrusk, a really good player. Charlie McAvoy is a beast. And I've been intrigued by the difference of opinion in terms of Toronto and Boston with regards to the expectations, because I think here in Toronto, people are still thinking they're growing. You know, they're still young, and if it doesn't happen this year, they'll be back next year, the year after that. I mean, what's the vibe like? What's the buzz like in Boston? Is it cup or bust, or does this team have a little bit of a rope Where if it doesn't happen, they're like, well, look at what's happening here overall with this organization.
I think it became cup or bust this year when they made the trade for Rick Nash. I think that was them saying, we think we can win now, and we're going to make a push this season. They are kind of 1 year ahead of schedule with looking like they could go in a long run and potentially be a cup contender this year. So in that sense, maybe they're playing with a little bit of house money. But I think anytime you have a core like they have that's getting older, you don't know how they're always all going to stay healthy. You don't know if they're going to continue to play at the level that they're at right now as the years go on. And, you know, you need to win when those guys are still in the shape that they're in now to put you in contender status. I mean, there's still questions as to whether Zdeno Chara at 41 years old, night in, night out for 2 months, is going to be able to play at an extremely high level, or if at some point you're going to start to see physical and mental fatigue come in, and either Charlie McAvoy is going to have to take much more of the responsibility, or they're going to have to find a way to manage it for a player that can, you know, make mistakes when he gets tired. We saw that last year in the first round against Ottawa when he was playing, you know, 35 minutes in double overtime games and then throwing pucks over the glass in the third period to set up overtime game winners for Ottawa against them. So, you know, I think that there is definitely kind of a win now thing, and there's a little bit of pressure for the young guys to get on board with what the older guys are doing. But the advantage they have over the Maple Leafs is they've got more guys that have won the Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got more guys that have been there before, so they're kind of more equipped with the proven veterans and the young cast to maybe go on that run. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of good rookies. There's still in this Sean Corrali, there's Danton Heinen, yeah, Matt Grizzlick.
Right.
Yeah, they've had some extremely good young guys that have come on board and been very good, and they hope that they continue to do that, and they're going to have to if they're going to go on a run for a couple months.
It doesn't seem like that long ago we were like, does Don Sweeney know what he's doing?
No, seriously. Yeah.
Remember being at the draft a few years ago where they had
three times in a row,
three picks
missed
in a row
on Barzal, and we're like, what is this guy doing?
I still give Don Sweeney a hard time about that. I mean, you still missed on Matt Barzal, and you may have missed on two of those picks with Zach Sinishin and with
I think
Jakob
Besser, too. They might have missed on
Besser. Oh, they did.
Kyle Connor.
There's
a few. Kyle Connor. Yeah, there were some big names that went after those three.
But it was like, we were all like, this team's in no man's land, and I think they termed it the retool, and it's the best retool you could ever think of.
But it's also worked out because of, you know, Chara keeps rolling to an extent, but they've got Bergeron and Krejci, which has been one of the most consistent 1-2 punches up the middle outside of Crosby and Malkin for the past decade.
Yep.
And Marchand has turned into a superstar.
Yeah, I think it was the 2014 draft or the 15 draft. They crushed it. It was Pastrnak, Anders Bjork, Ryan Donato, and Danton Heinen in that draft. All
that works.
Really good players and all players.
Yeah, that Donato. You know, I can't even believe is he playing tonight? No.
He's not playing. He's in the visiting dressing room right now with the folding chair and the hooks on the door and the nameplate on the door with with
you
the
got some depth
right now,
that guy's
so.
Not playing for you because yeah, no he's kidding. Damn good
he no is kidding. He is, but the one game he did play along the boards, he wasn't quite as hard as you need to be in the playoffs, and D-zone he's still got some things to learn, but offensively he can snipe and he will be a difference maker, maybe a la Tyler Seguin when he got dropped in the middle of that Tampa Bay series.
Right,
he gave them a burst of offense if they needed it at some point.
Game four tonight, Leafs Bruins. He is Joe Haggerty, Bruins Insider. Enjoy it tonight. Thanks so much for popping by, and sorry about the truck.
You got it, boys. You want me to send a pizza down to the truck?
Please,
good down here?
Yeah, send a GPS and a pizza for us so we know where the hell we are right now.
You got it.
I think we're at Maple Leaf
Our
Square.
Security guy's having a time
here. He's just wheeling girls. I mean, look at him
petting
over there.
Dogs.
He has no idea what kind of big deals are in this trailer doing radio.
He doesn't.
If that was us out there, he'd be saying, move along.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Moving.
Get out of the way.
Look, this guy's been talking to that girl for 45 minutes.
Yeah. He's a creepy old Filippio.
He's on top of things.
He's working it.
Yeah, he's
chipping away.
Is.